We're back, 97.1 Breakfast with the Beatles. Chris Carter with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Before we broke, we had a quiz question. The quiz question was, who took the photo on the cover of Paul McCartney's latest album, Chaos and Creation in the Backyard? I do believe we have a winner on line 8. Good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. Do you know who took that photo of Paul McCartney?
Yeah, I am actually the photographer's brother.
You are?
Yeah, it was taken by my brother, Mike McCartney.
That makes you Paul McCartney. Good morning, Paul McCartney.
Yeah, it makes me the winner. Yay.
Congratulations, you are the grand prize winner of a brand new Ringo Starr album, Choose Love.
All right. That's just what I always wanted. I love it.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great, thanks, Chris. How are you?
I am fine. So you are like the busiest guy in show business lately. You got a new album, a concert tour, a great new children's book. You're singing into space. You've got book signings everywhere. Congratulations. You must be very tired.
Yeah, especially at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. You know what? I love what I do, so it's okay. It's a nice kind of tired. And the good thing is that we do one gig, I get a day off. We do two gigs back to back, I get 2 days off. So it's not really too hard a kind of schedule. You know, it's not too bad at all. And then, as you say, I have been fitting in a couple of little extra things like book signings and reading to kids. And then we did the Ellen show the other day. So, but it's not too bad. You know, I love it. So I'm not that knackered yet.
All right. Chaos and Creation, congratulations. It's a real classy album, I have to tell you. We love it here on Breakfast with the Beatles.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. You know, I'm very proud of it. We had a lot of fun making it, and it's one of those that me and Nigel, the producer, sort of said, you know, we're gonna pull this off. We're going to make sure we make a good album. So, we felt good about it. It's really nice to get the feedback we're getting because the people, you know, on the street, in the auditoriums, and people like yourself and critics and other people seem to be loving it, you know, so that's all I can ask for.
It seems like when you make your true solo albums, like the McCartney album and McCartney 2, it's been at real pivotal points in your life right after the Beatles broke up and after Wings. Is that a conscious thing, and what made you want to kind of go it alone on this one?
No, it's not a conscious thing. All those little coincidences are just that, you know, they just sort of seem to happen. I go, whoa, you know, I can see that as a sort of coincidence, but it's nothing more than that. And how it happened that I went alone on this was I was in the studio. We had 2 weeks trial with Nigel Godrich, the producer.
Who George Martin suggested you give a tryout, right?
Yeah, you know, I rang George and I said, if I can't have you, who can I have, you know? And he suggested Nigel.
Passing the torch, so to speak, there.
Yeah, and I must say, Nigel was well chuffed with that. You know, he was very honored that George had chosen him. So it was a nice little continuation kind of thing. But on the second week of this trial fortnight, Nigel said to me, look, he said, I want to try something different. I want to try and get you playing some of the instruments and just got a feel for a different direction for this album. So it was really just disappointing because, you know, I had to tell the band that Nigel wanted to go that way. But it was his call, and he said to me, look, you have to blame me on this one. So I said, you better believe it, Nigel. I'm blaming you, baby. But the band were great. They said, look, we'll do it live. You go make your record. They're all smart guys. They know about making records. They know it's not that easy. And if a good producer's got a cool idea, then it's worth hearing him out. And so I did, and that became the direction of the album.
Well, there's some great sounding tracks on the album. That a certain softness in particular, that's beautiful production on that track.
That sounds lovely, doesn't it? That was actually one of the reasons that I was very pleased to be working with Nigel, because he came up as an engineer. He came up through the ranks, and he started with Radiohead and people like that as an engineer, and he gravitated to producer. So it meant that he really knew his way around the soundboard, you know, and he is a great engineer as well as producer. And I love the way he gets sounds, you know, and he's got a very definite way he does it, which was always turning me on. You know, I'd go in and I'd do a drum track, and I'd go in and listen to it and say, whoa, that sounds really like a snare drum, you know, instead of a sort of bip.
Right.
So some of them, you get back in the control room, it's like a bip, boop. You go, oops, no, it didn't sound like that at all. So, but I didn't have to do any work on that. He's the sonic man, and he's really good at that. So it's one of the joys of working with him.
Yeah, it's got a good vibe. Tell me about Riding to Vanity Fair. That's my current favorite on the record. That's kind of got an eerie sound throughout. It's really an interesting song.
Well, you know, that one was... a lot of people say to people like me, you know, when you get famous and you get successful financially, there's nothing left to sort of write about because you lose your hard edge, you lose your hunger. But I've never really agreed with that. And in order to not agree with it, I thought, well, what is the equivalent now, you know, that you're not just lusting after a car or a girl,
right,
kind of thing, you know, your early songs. And I thought, well, you know, there's another side that I normally don't deal with. In life, you do get disappointments. You know, there may be someone you're trying to be friendly with, and for one reason or other, may be their problem. But, you know, you kind of, your friendship gets rejected. It's quite hurtful. Normally, what I would do is I'd just pass over it and just sort of think, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, forget it. And I'd write something kind of uplifting to get over it. This time I thought, no, you know, it's good to use that. And so that song is about rejection of friendship generally. And then I brought it to the sessions to Nigel, and he didn't like it. So I really had to fight for it. I must say, it was a very different song when I brought it. It was about twice the speed. The tune was different. The words were different. So I just said to him, look, what don't you like about it? You know, because, I mean, some people say to me, why did you even listen to him?
Yeah, does it bother you? Did it bother you when he would tell you he didn't like it? I mean, what was your first impression?
Yeah, it did, actually. At first, I thought, Chiefy Sarge, you know, who are you? But then I thought, you know what? I'm working with this guy. He's not working for me. It's a team. I should listen to him. And I like that. I like collaborations, you know. So I did anyway. And I just said to him, look, you could have put it a bit more diplomatically. And I think we both learned those kind of lessons. He certainly learned as we went on to how to say it to me. You know, I was spoiled. I had George Martin for so many years.
Who's a true gentleman, right?
And who's absolutely, Paul, I wonder if we might consider doing this. And you go, yes, please, Mr. Man. You know, whereas with Nigel, it was like, I don't like it. It's like, oh, well.
Wow.
All right. But anyway, he's not that bad, actually. I'm paraphrasing him. But no, it was good. We soon got an understanding. And I said, look, tell me exactly what you don't like. Tell me what it is, you know, what line you don't like and what note you don't like. So we did that, and I kind of rewrote it all there and then kind of thing over a period. And finally, it made the album. And I think because it was so worked on and so workshopped and gone through so many changes, when it finally ended up as something we liked, it really was quite different from a lot of the other stuff. But I think we put it on the album because it balances up the album. It's a darker track. Something like you mentioned, you know, some of the other tracks are nicer and, you know, more uplifting, a little more romantic. So,
well, it balances it. It balances it. Yeah, it balances the record out a bit, you know.
Well, that was the idea, yeah. We thought it was good for the record, you know, to give it a few dimensions.
Tell me about one more track. I read one of your fellow Beatles may have kind of helped you write Friends to Go. Tell me about that.
Well, it was, you know, I've talked about this. An interviewer at the beginning of the tour asked me about whether I ever sort of think about John when I'm writing. And I said I did. And I think it came out a little bit like I was holding seances with him every day, which isn't true. You know, it's just obviously having worked with John so long, if I'm at a point on a song where I'm wondering where to go, it's an obvious thing for me to think, well, if I was working with John, what might he say? And that was really the strength of that one. But in this case, Friends to Go, I was starting writing the song, and I was just strumming along on the guitar in the key of E. And I don't know, as I hit a certain chord sequence, it suddenly started to feel like a George song. So, I don't know, I put myself into that frame of mind, and it was nice, actually. It was just, again, I was just sort of, you often do that when you're writing. You kind of go, well, I wonder what would happen if, you know, this was Ray Charles writing this, or if I was writing this for Marvin Gaye, how would I write it, you know? And it helps you with your direction.
Right, which you've done in the past, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that in the past. I think a lot of writers have done that. I certainly have. And, I mean, I bet, for instance, when John was writing, "You've Got to Hide Your Love Away," I'm sure he thought he was Dylan. You know, that's like
I've heard
like,
that.
You know, that's almost like a Dylan impression. "Yo, hey, wee." But, hello, it's my phone. Hang on. I'm going to just turn that off. So, yeah, so, you know, in this case, it was Friends to Go. I did get a feeling that like, I was sort of writing a George song. So it was good fun to do, and it came out. And some people have said to me, you know, independently, you know, that one sounds like a George song, even though they haven't heard the story about it.
Right. No, but it does. It definitely has that feel to it.
It has a little bit of a Georgie vibe, which is lovely. You know, it's a nice, it's a sort of memory without being a memory, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. So how did you decide what songs from the new album you're going to play on the tour?
We played a lot in rehearsal, and just some of them stuck out and just became more obvious than others. You know, that was how it happened.
You just pick and choose. You got a great set list on this tour. We're going to keep it a surprise. We don't want to give it all away. But I just want to personally thank you for dusting off one song in particular, and that's Too Many People from Ram.
Oh, great, man. Yeah.
We were telling Rusty every time we saw Rusty, tell Paul he's got to play Too Many People.
See, that's one of the ways we do it. I think of a whole big bunch of things.
Right.
And the guys also do, you know, in the band. I say to them, look, is there anything you really think we should play in the set? Let me know, and we can look at it, you know. And that was one that did come from the band this time. They said, we've got Too Many People. We've got to do it. It'll really work. And I was sort of, okay, let's give it a go, you know. I was really pleased the way it worked out, you know.
Yeah, you rarely play things from the Ram album, so that's a great surprise. Speaking of Ram, Paul, we had Brian Wilson on a few months ago, and we played Dear Boy from Ram, and he never heard it before, and it freaked him out, man.
Oh, yeah, great.
He loved it. He loved it.
It's funny, actually, because that has got echoes of Beach Boys, really, because, you know, it's got the harmonies and stuff. I can imagine so that being something that Brian might like.
Yeah, that's why we played it for him. I just thought he'd dig it. So your ace guitar player, Rusty Anderson, he's been calling us, giving us reports from the road. It sounds like you guys are having a blast. Did someone propose at one of your shows? Did some guy want to try to get...
Yeah, it was funny, you know, because you get these signs in the audience, and I often mention them to the audience because sometimes, you know, you're trying to do a new song with chords and everything, you're concentrating, and you find yourself, you're actually reading a sign, and you go, oh, my God, you know, what am I doing here? But one of them I couldn't resist. I was talking to the audience and telling them about this idea with the signs, and I said, well, there's one in the front row here. I said, I can't resist this. Look at this. It says, can Ben in the fourth row propose to Melissa? So I said, yeah, all right, you know, you go for it, Ben. So we just held up the show while, you know, some people pointed out where Ben was. And the spotlights found him and the cameras found him, so they got him up on the screen. So, you know, suddenly he drops onto one knee.
Oh, my goodness.
In the fourth row. And then we're, you know, all eyes watching Melissa see what she's going to say. Suddenly she's going, yes, yes, yes. So the audience is cheering.
Hopefully she said yes. Great.
Yeah, exactly. No,
good
no,
for Ben.
Sorry, Ben. She's turned you down in front of 20,000 people.
Oh, my God. And Paul McCartney. Wow.
Exactly, yeah. But no, she said yeah, that was really cool. And I said to him, I said, okay, Ben. I said, listen, man. I said, this is a first for me, and I hope it's a last for you. Hopefully those two won't forget that little proposal.
I don't think they will.
That was a great moment, you know. It was a lot of fun for the whole audience, I think, you know.
Well, that's great, because your shows are great. I tell people, you know, go see Paul McCartney because it's the only show where you can see, you know, 7, 8, 9-year-olds and, you know, guys that are 65 all singing the lyrics the same song, which is really, it's a true testament, Paul. I mean,
it
you
really
can't say
is,
that
yeah.
about any other artist, you know. You don't see 8-year-olds at the Stones concert, you know.
No.
Well, you might, but not often. They don't know the words, you know.
Yeah, they're really 35. They just look 8.
That's right.
No, but, no, I know. It is a great thing. You know, it's one of those things that I didn't plan for, but I think, you know, with the success, for instance, of the Beatles' number one album, a lot of younger fans came on board. And then our last American tour, you started to see 20-year-olds, you know, as quite a big part of the audience, which was really cool for us. We're going, well, you know, see college kids and stuff. And then you see my age group, you see older than us. And as you say, it goes right down to babies. I mean, some people hold up babies. I'm thinking, why are you holding up that baby?
Why are you holding up the baby during Helter Skelter, man?
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly. You know,
what's going on here?
Out, though, yeah. But you know what it is? It's like they're going to say to that baby 20 years from now, I took you to a Paul McCartney concert.
That's right. That's
the baby
right.
Say, what? I'm stone deaf. Can't hear a thing.
Well, Paul, I got to tell you, it was such a surprise for you to call in this morning. I really, really appreciate it. I mean, I can't tell you.
That's
you
great,
know.
Man. No problem. And
how wonderful it is to hear from
Mike,
you.
I'll tell my brother Mike that.
Yeah, tell him you won a Ringo album. Yeah, tell him you won the new Ringo album.
Just because of him. That is great. So lots of love to all you listeners. Lots of love to Ringo if he's listening in. And thanks for the album, Richie. Love you lots.
Paul, thank you.
You guys take it easy. Thanks, Chris.